Today is August 3rd, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover Japan's record yen intervention and the near $1 trillion equity swing it triggered in 40 minutes, the historic hedge fund unwind that ended with Citadel absorbing a distressed AI fund's book, and a fractured Fed decision under Governor Kevin Warsh that's pushing the market's neutral rate estimate higher. Start with the number that matters most, $53 billion. That's the size of Japan's single-day currency intervention, the largest in history, deployed after the yen weakened to roughly 160 yen per dollar, its lowest level since 1986. What made this different from prior interventions wasn't just the size, it was the company Japan kept. The New York Fed, acting on behalf of the U.S. Treasury, joined the Bank of Japan in buying yen with euros, the first coordinated U.S.-Japan FX action in roughly three decades. The pair moved the yen from about 164 to 157 against the dollar almost immediately, and the shockwave hit U.S. equities within 40 minutes, erasing and then partially restoring nearly $1 trillion in market value. The broader fintech pattern here is that currency stability has quietly re-entered the central bank policy toolkit, and any institution with cross-border treasury or correspondent banking exposure needs to treat FX intervention as a live variable again, not a relic of the 1990s. That intervention didn't happen in isolation. Japan is the largest foreign holder of U.S. government debt, sitting against a backdrop of roughly $40 trillion in total U.S. government debt outstanding. Funding an intervention at this scale plausibly requires treasury sales that push U.S. interest rates up, a feedback loop worth watching closely. Meanwhile, South Korea's KOSPI index posted its worst monthly decline on record in July, worse than both the 2008 financial crisis, when the drawdown was roughly 23%, and the 1997 Asian financial crisis at roughly 27%. Trading halts were triggered on consecutive sessions, an event without precedent. Two major Asian policy risk vectors both live in the same month is not something risk committees should file away as noise. Now to the hedge fund side of the ledger, because this is where leverage concentration turned from theory into a headline. The Goldman Sachs Hedge Fund VIP Index, which tracks the industry's most crowded long positions, fell 12% relative to the S&P 500 in a single month. The worst relative performance in the index's 25-year history, dating back to 2001, and worse than the month Lehman Brothers collapsed. Seven of those 12 percentage points hit in a four-day window. Building on that, the technology momentum factor was down roughly 40% year-to-date as of the Thursday before the rebound, a drawdown the commentary compares to nearly the entire dot-com bust, compressed into a fraction of the time. The endpoint of that unwind was Citadel's acquisition of a distressed AI-focused fund's book worth roughly $45 billion, reportedly including private holdings such as an Anthropic stake. Multiple prime brokers, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and J.P. Morgan among them, worked to manage the margin calls before Citadel stepped in. More importantly, Goldman's own leverage tracking data, running since 2016, had flagged the largest cumulative hedge fund leverage buildup on record months before this happened. The automated, volatility-triggered collateral calls used by the major prime brokers functioned exactly as designed. They just weren't built to prevent concentration risk in the first place, a distinction risk officers should sit with. Elsewhere in public markets, memory-adjacent names Micron and SanDisk each drew down more than 50% before stabilizing, which LPL Financial's Adam Turquist attributes to extreme positioning unwinding rather than any real shift in supply-demand fundamentals. And SpaceX shares have fallen roughly 50% from their peak, a loss of market value larger than Tesla's entire market capitalization, heading into the company's August 4th earnings report, its first as a public company. The broader fintech pattern here is that leverage doesn't announce itself until it's unwinding, and thematic AI exposure sits closer to fintech capital pools than most allocators have priced in. Looking at the regulatory landscape, the most consequential domestic action wasn't a new rule from the SEC, CFPB, or OCC Minin surfaced this cycle. It was the Fed itself. Governor Kevin Warsh delivered a pause on rates, but with three dissents, described by observers as a family fight that may have been by design. Markets had priced in nearly two rate increases over the following 12 months heading into that meeting, against odds that stood at roughly 60% for a pause versus 40% for a hike. Warsh left ambiguity around which inflation measure the Fed actually prioritizes, and the 30-year bond sold off meaningfully in response. A split vote paired with unclear communication is, functionally, a governance risk that sits alongside the traditional rate guidance risk institutions already track. That uncertainty is compounding a fiscal story that isn't going away. Andrew Sarna of Fourth Lane Partners frames the 6-7% of GDP federal deficit as an implicit ceiling on how high Treasury yields can climb before debt servicing becomes fiscally untenable. Darius Dale of 42 Macro adds that the U.S. government is rolling over roughly $12 trillion of debt this year, and his model shows the market-implied neutral rate rising 50 to 75 basis points, driven by AI infrastructure capital demand and structurally wide deficits. For fintech issuers and their venture backers, a higher discount rate directly compresses the present value of long-duration growth projections, a dynamic that hits late-stage valuations harder than early rounds. On the opportunity side of the ledger, Amazon's AWS segment reached a $169 billion annualized run rate with a $496 billion backlog, including a $25 billion chips run rate business that CEO Andy Jassy suggested could be worth $50 billion standalone. That's a signal of continued hyperscaler capacity investment that banks pursuing cloud-native core modernization should factor directly into vendor negotiation timing. But the risk side still dominates the picture. Forward Guidance's weekly roundup notes that triple-leveraged retail semiconductor ETFs grew from roughly $25 to $30 billion in assets up to $100 billion, which amplifies single-digit index moves into 3 to 7% swings. That's retail leverage layered on top of hedge fund leverage in the same thematic corner of the market that just had its worst month in a generation. Fintech thesis update. What changed today is the reappearance of coordinated FX intervention as an active policy tool paired with clear evidence that megafund leverage concentration, not fundamentals, drove the worst relative hedge fund performance since the VIP index's inception. Add a divided Fed and a rising neutral rate, and the through line is the same one we keep returning to. Higher for longer financing costs are colliding with record leverage in exactly the corners of the market. AI infrastructure, thematic ETFs, megafund books that fintech capital increasingly touches. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.